Welcome to another episode of Army Real Talk, a segment of AUSA's Army Matters podcast. I am Nzinga Curry, Director of AUSA's Education and Programs Directorate, and I am joined with guest co-host, First Sergeant Retired Steve Canonico, Assistant Director of Retired Soldiers, part of AUSA's Membership Department. Today, we will have a few questions answered regarding veterans' benefits and have special guest Ms. Margarita Devlin, Principal Deputy Undersecretary for Benefits from the Department of Veterans Affairs, joining us for this discussion.
Nzinga, thanks for the introduction. Yes, welcome, Ms. Margarita Devlin. We are delighted to have you join us today. If you don't mind, please share a bit about yourself as well as the VBA.
Hello, thank you for having me. It's really my pleasure to be here and to be able to share some information about veterans' benefits. So a little bit about me. I am not a veteran myself, but I come from a military family. My father served in the Navy. My brother is retired Army. My oldest son is currently serving in the Marine Corps. So very excited to be a part of this wonderful mission in the VA and to help veterans get the benefits that they've earned. So in the Veterans Benefits Administration, we administer a wide variety of benefits for veterans, which include everything from education, home loan guarantee and specially adapted housing, disability compensation and pension, fiduciary programs for those most vulnerable veterans, the Veteran Readiness and Employment Program, life insurance programs, as well as military to civilian transition assistance. And we deliver all these services through a network of many regional offices across the country, 56 regional offices, plus additional processing centers and outpost locations, as well as headquarters. I've been in the VA for 25 years, most of those years in VBA. So that's a little bit about me and what we do here in VBA, and I'm happy to be here and take your questions.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. So we have a broad range of items to discuss. So I would love to start with the GI Bill. And Ms. Devlin, so when my husband and I first were engaged, we compared finances, debts, and all those great, wonderful things. But the one thing that stood out was that I still owe money for student loans. And well, my husband, due to his prior military service, as well as benefiting from the GI Bill, he did not owe any money. So my question is, for those who have served, how would one know if they qualify for education benefits?
Thank you. That's a great question. Well, the post 9/11 GI Bill, if I would start there, allows veterans to start or return and continue their education. So to find out if you are eligible for your GI Bill benefits, you can start by going to www.va.gov/education. But just to give you a little snippet, you are eligible for post 9/11 GI Bill benefits if you either served at least 90 days on active duty, which could be all at once or with breaks in service, on or after September 11, 2001, or you received a Purple Heart on or after September 11, 2001, and were honorably discharged after any amount of service, or you served for at least 30 continuous days all at once without a break in service on or after September 11, 2001, and were honorably discharged with a service-connected disability, or, a lot of ors, right, or you are a dependent child using benefits which were transferred to you by a qualifying service member during their service. Also, if you just need some help and you want to talk to somebody to help you find out more about the GI Bill or your eligibilities, you can also call us at the GI Bill hotline. And the number for that, which is kind of easy to remember, is 888-GI-BILL-1. Or you can use the numbers 888-442-4551. And that call center is open between the hours of 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday Eastern Time.
Perfect. I know that would be very helpful to many. So, you know, we're living in different times. So I do want to ask, have any of the benefits changed due to COVID-19?
Initially, the first concern when COVID-19 hit was the impact on colleges, universities, and training facilities, because when they all had to immediately shift to an online environment, that could have had an impact on students who were pursuing in-class environment courses and then had to shift, because the payment for the monthly allowance for housing is lower for online exclusive courses versus the ones where you go in the classroom. So in order to protect those students from having their monthly payments reduced, VA worked with Congress and in record time put a bill on the president's desk, in just really record time, to preserve those crucial benefits and continue the GI Bill payments for training and housing benefits. And so thousands of students nationwide, which have been converted to distance learning solely because of COVID, are continuing to receive the same payment, assuming they are still in school. It also allowed us to continue this through December 2020, which recognizes the fact that we didn't know at the time how long this would last. I do want to mention that if a student is unable to attend their courses, but school is in session, we can only pay through the last date of attendance, but not through the end of the term. What this really does is protect students who were pursuing brick and mortar courses in the classroom and outside of their control, the school converted those courses to online. Also, if a school is temporarily closed, which also happened in some cases, VA can continue to pay students the monthly housing allowance through the end of the term or 28 days, whichever is sooner. There's a lot to remember with all of these COVID impacts and how we are able to help students through them. So we always encourage our student veterans to check VBA social media, our GI Bill Facebook page, or our GI Bill website for the latest updates so that they can stay informed, or also they can call our call center at the number I gave earlier.
Ms. Devlin, that's some great information. So one of the areas that I also work with in AUSA is to inform soldiers about various transition programs. So as some transition assistant programs, questions for you, does the VA have transition classes and can they be accessed virtually?
That's a great question. So normally our transition assistance program class is a full day class and it is in a classroom, typically in a classroom environment. When the pandemic hit, we did have to move away from classroom experience and move to an online environment. Luckily, we already had the online version of our TAP class on the Joint Knowledge Online System, or JKO. So when we had to move to virtual, what we did was ensure that the TAP managers at all of the military installations where we conduct this transition assistance program course were informed to make sure that their transitioning service members that they were responsible for were directed to take the course online on JKO. But also, we had one-on-one assistance available through our contracted benefit advisors. And while typically that one-on-one assistance would be in person, we shifted also those individuals to an online environment, and they were able to continue to support and continue now to support these transitioning service members by telephone. And what that does is it gives the service member an opportunity to walk through a bit of a deeper dive on subjects in our TAP program that they might need a little bit more help with to understand how it applies to them, how they might apply for the benefit, and so on. So that service is continued, and we are in the process now of evaluating how we might return to our in-class experience in a safe manner.
No, that's great. One of the other things that soldiers do is they get a physical before they move out. Is the VA currently conducting in-person compensation and pension, known as C&P exams, during COVID-19? And if not, how can they file a claim?
We did pause in-person exams with COVID-19 to protect veterans and our employees and vendors, the examiners. We have resumed in-person C&P exams across the country and in several overseas locations as we determined that it was safe to do so in those specific areas. The only place where we still are not doing in-person C&P exams are parts of Central Alabama. And also, because of the phased approach where we've started all of the C&P exams that can be done where both the examiner and the veteran are wearing private protective equipment, PPE, so that they can put a mask on when they enter the examining room and they can keep the mask on during the exam. So as you might imagine, what that means is that certain types of exams, for example, if we need to check lung capacity, where the veteran would need to take off their mask, we are unable to do those in many locations. But as we've started to see certain regions of the country become more and more safe, we have started also including those types of exams. And what we can do, too, is ensure that the veteran has access to any examiner up to 50 miles away from their home, and we can pay travel for them. That helps us have a little bit more flexibility. The most important thing I want veterans to know, though, is that we will not take any negative action on their claim if they are unable to participate in an exam or if they feel uncomfortable going to an exam. All they need to do is let us know that. We can either process the parts of their claim that we can do without an exam, or we can hold their whole claim until they feel safe participating in an exam. And then a couple of other things that we can do is we can look at the claim for that veteran and see what medical evidence we already have on file for them. And in some cases, we can have our examiner do what's called an acceptable clinical evidence review, where they look at the evidence and they can give us information from that clinical perspective that helps us identify the functional impairment for that veteran so that we can proceed with the claim. And then the second thing we can do is some types of exams can be done with our telehealth technology. So they can be done over video or even over telephone in some cases. And when we can do that, we will certainly do that because it's important that we can get these claims completed for our veterans and get decisions in their hands as soon as possible.
I'm going to piggyback on the first sergeant's question about transitioning programs. Can you provide information about the new Solid Start program?
Absolutely. Our Solid Start program was in response to an executive order. It was Executive Order 13822, which identified the need to address the growing veteran suicide rate. And research showed that service members in their first year after military separation experienced rates of suicide at nearly twice the rate of the general veteran population. And we know that many of these service members were not necessarily connecting with the benefits and support available to them from the VA, even though they would have been going through the transition assistance program before separation. What we know is that sometimes that can be an overwhelming time. And it may be difficult for that transitioning service member while they're still in that last year before separation to really understand what their reality is going to look like after military separation. And so what we knew we needed to do is to reach out to these veterans after separation to check in with them and see how they're doing. We proactively, through Solid Start, reach out to all veterans who separated from the military 3 times during their first year after separation. And the way this works is we get a data transfer from Department of Defense that gives us all of the contact information for these recently separated veterans so that we can email them, let them know we're going to call, and call them. Now, I will say that sometimes we don't have the most recent contact information for these veterans. And when we don't, we look through all of our VA systems to determine if we can find a phone number for the individual somewhere else. So I always tell everybody when I get a chance, if you know of a veteran who's in their first year after separation and they have not gotten their Solid Start call, please have them call us. They can call us on the main number at 1-800-827-1000, and they can ask to be transferred to Solid Start. But let me tell you a little bit about how the program works. So regardless of your character of discharge, we will call you at those 3 points after separation in about the first 90 days and at around the 6-month point, and then again at around the 1-year point. And what we're doing is really starting with an open-ended conversation to say, how are you doing with your transition? Because what we want is for the veteran to drive these conversations, to let us know what is on his mind or her mind at that moment of the phone call. So this can range from the veteran might be concerned about unemployment, they might be concerned about healthcare issues, they might be concerned about their education, maybe they're struggling with their coursework. Whatever it is that's on their mind, that's what we will start the conversation around so that it's completely relevant to that moment in time in their life. And then from there, we also make sure that that veteran understands some of the time-limited benefits that are available to them, such as, for example, election for the Veterans Life Insurance Program. There's a time limitation on some benefits, and we want to make sure they don't miss out on those because while they were going through the transition program, they were hearing about all the benefits at once, and it can just be really hard to remember all of those things. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we have a priority group in Solid Start. What we've done is we've identified those veterans who, in their last year before separation, had a mental health diagnosis or were receiving mental health treatment of some sort. And those veterans are prioritized to make sure that we get to them early and also that we can connect them specifically with mental health resources and services, either in their local VA healthcare facility, through a vet center, or through community resources. We were actually really surprised at how well our veterans responded to this program. When we started it in December, it's a brand new program. It hasn't even been around for a year. We weren't sure how many veterans would answer the phone. We did take precautions to make sure they knew it was really VA calling. So on the caller ID, it does say Veterans Affairs to make it clear that it's really us calling. But we set a standard for ourselves that we hoped we could reach at least 15%, that's 15% of the veterans we tried to call in the first stage, in that 0 to 90 days after separation, because we knew that was the most important time block for reaching them. And we have exceeded that dramatically with over 50% of the stage one calls where veterans are answering the phone and engaging with our Solid Start representatives so that they can connect to benefits. We are enrolling them in healthcare or connecting them to the healthcare eligibility center. And if they happen to be in crisis during the time of the call, we are transferring them through a warm transfer to the VA crisis line. And we have had so far to date 9 times where we have contacted the veteran and found that they were in a situation where they needed the crisis line right away. So I have to say, silver lining, I am very grateful that we were able to get Solid Start in place before the pandemic hit, because during this pandemic, as we all know, it takes an already stressful time of that first year after separation and magnifies the amount of stressors that are involved in these veterans' lives. And it's also a very agile program. One of the things we did early on during the pandemic is we talked to our Solid Start representatives and asked them, what are you hearing about from these veterans? What are they telling you they're worried about? And are you fully equipped to handle all of their concerns and questions? And one of the things our Solid Start representatives told us, which you might imagine, is a lot of concerns around finances and employment. So we partnered with Department of Labor and made sure that our Solid Start agents were able to give these veterans critical information about unemployment insurance they might be eligible for and other benefits and programs around how to get help with employment, including some VA programs, but also some Department of Labor programs. So that's Solid Start.
That is awesome. That definitely sounds like a really good, meaningful program. So thank you.
Yeah, that's great. Ms. Devlin, another area that I cover at AUSA is retirees and veterans. So can you tell me what programs are available for retirees and veterans for employment under VBA?
Absolutely. So I will tell you, I kind of think of them as 3 programs sort of in the same vein of the purpose being ultimately employment. But they're a little bit different depending on what the veteran is interested in and where they are in their life. We've already talked about the post-9/11 GI Bill. So for veterans who are retirees or who aren't retirees but have separated from the military, they can go in and use their GI Bill and pursue whatever educational track that they would like to pursue and eventually use those educational credentials for employment. We also have Education and Career Counseling Program, which some people refer to as Chapter 36. And that program is designed to help veterans and transitioning service members really navigate their career choices. What do they want to pursue as a career? What educational requirements might that career track have for them? Can they do it with an apprentice? Is it on-the-job training? Does it require a college or university type of degree? And so on. And that's for individuals who primarily want to use their GI Bill benefits. But for veterans with service-connected disabilities, we have a program which we call VR&E, that's the acronym. It used to be called Vocational Rehabilitation and Employment. It's the same program, but in our research with veterans, we found that that name did not resonate for them. And through our research with veterans, we came up with a new name, and we just unveiled it this past quarter. The program is now called Veteran Readiness and Employment. The Veteran Readiness and Employment Program has 5 tracks to employment. And eligibility for this program, you only need a 10% service-connected disability rating with a serious employment handicap or a 20% disability rating with an employment handicap. Or you can also be eligible if you're going through the Integrated Disability Evaluation System, or IDES. And the VR&E program is very, very comprehensive. There are 5 tracks to employment, and I'll go over them just really quickly. The reemployment track is really about USERRA, right? It's about making sure that veterans who were activated, called up to active duty, and then come back, that they're able to potentially get their jobs back with their former employers. even if they might need some accommodations or some additional skill certification type of things to be on track with their colleagues. The second track I'll talk about is the Rapid Access to Employment track. This is for veterans who may have educational credentials for employment, for competitive employment, but they really just need help navigating that employment search process. Help with resumes, help with interviewing skills. How to interview for civilian jobs is different than when you're in the military. You don't have to interview for your jobs. So helping them with that interview and preparation process and helping them get into a job. The self-employment track is, as it might sound, for individuals who are interested in pursuing entrepreneurship options. And we can help them with training for that or help them set up their own business if they're eligible for that specialty service. Then there's the employment through long-term services track. And this is really where most of our veterans pursue VR&E end up in the employment through long-term services track. And this is where they choose a career goal in collaboration with their rehabilitation counselor. And the determination is made that in order for them to be competitive in that field of employment, they're going to need some training. And that training can be college training, it can be on-the-job training, apprenticeship, or it can be a technical school. There's lots of different training types that could be provided in this track. And then the last track is the independent living track. And that's for veterans where it's really not feasible for them to return to work right now. Perhaps they have very severe disabilities, and maybe what we need to focus on with them is really getting them to be as independent as they can be in their homes and in their communities. And in some cases, after provision of independent living services, the veteran can advance to the point where we can reconsider feasibility for employment. And through all five of these tracks, whatever services are determined to be needed for that veteran between the veteran and the rehabilitation counselor would be paid for by VA. And we follow them and provide them with case management services throughout the life of their rehabilitation plan to make sure they make it to their end goal. And we support them with this case manager until they're there and we feel confident that they no longer need us. And then we can close their case and stop providing services. It's a really great program.
Yeah, this sounds like an awesome program. I'm glad that the VA is definitely taking this initiative to help them out. So this leads me into my next question. What can you tell us about the Benefits Delivery at Discharge program, also known as the BDD?
So Benefits Delivery at Discharge is a program that allows service members to file their disability claim up to 180 days before they are separated from the military. The goal of the program is to be able to start their VA disability payments as soon as possible after they are discharged. And our target is that they get their first check in no more than 90 days after discharge. And the way to file these disability claims while you're still in service, keep in mind, the time frame for this is 180 to 90 days before leaving the military. The reason we put that time frame in place is to make sure we can conduct all of their exams in enough time to be able to fulfill our promise, essentially, that we can get their payment to them within 90 days after separation. So if the service member has an illness or injury or multiple illnesses or injuries that they believe were caused or made worse by their active duty service, they would file a claim by having a copy of their service treatment record for their most recent service period and submit that with their claim. Now, I will tell you, we are in the process of trying to make that a better process so that service members do not need to carry their service treatments around. We do work with Department of Defense and the military services to try to obtain those service treatment records electronically. But we do encourage service members to make sure that they always keep a copy and have a copy of their treatment records. And then what we would do is schedule whatever exams that they need and then get all of their disability claim process completed and ready for decision so that it can be implemented after they are discharged from service.
Yeah, this sounds great. I know this program came out right about when I was leaving the service myself for retirement and hear great things about the program. Thank you guys for coming up with this solution to the problem. Because it definitely helps the individual get their claim in a lot faster and get through this process a lot faster and smoother. So thank you.
So this is really, really good information. I thank you. I hope my listeners are taking notes and learning a wealth of information. But I want to change lanes a bit and focus on the home loan guarantee.
After I saw how my husband benefited from the GI Bill, I, of course, wanted to see what other benefits he is eligible for. So when it came time for us to purchase a house, we looked into a VA loan. And yes, the VA indeed helped us enjoy the dream of home ownership. So to help others, will you please share the various benefits of the home loan guarantee?
Absolutely. The home loan guarantee is a lifetime benefit that eligible service members and veterans can use multiple times to buy or refinance a home. Compared to other conventional loans, the VA home loan offers great cost-saving benefits. For example, with the home loan guarantee, you can buy your home with no down payment requirement. That is probably the best benefit to this program. There can also be limited closing costs, competitively low interest rates, and no need for private mortgage insurance. There is a funding fee to use this benefit, but you won't have to pay for it if you have a VA service-connected disability rating or if you're currently on active duty and have a Purple Heart. Also, the other great thing about this program is if you ever have issues repaying your loan, if you come into employment issues, financial issues, the VA will work with your lender to help you avoid foreclosure whenever possible. And in the VA, we have a really low foreclosure avoidance rate compared to private industry. It's a really great benefit program. And most recently, with the Blue Water Navy Act, the cap on the loan was removed. So now veterans in high cost of living areas who previously could not get a home loan guarantee for the entire value of their loan are now able to do so. It is really a great program for individuals who are ready for home ownership or who are ready to refinance their homes.
Awesome, and I must agree. So, Ms. Devlin, thank you so much for the information that you shared. So you shared a couple of social media platforms as well as numbers. I would love for you to restate those to make sure that our listeners can write those down and contact the various resources when they need help.
Yes, absolutely. It is really important for veterans to have the ability to reach us, to ask their questions, and to follow us on our social media platforms so that they can get regular updates on what's going on. Our main call center number, which is the one I always want veterans to have at their fingertips, is 1-800-827-1000. And the reason you want that one at your fingertips is because that's our main entry point to VBA, and the call center representatives can transfer you to any other of our specialty call centers. And that way, you just have one number to remember. But the other numbers that you might want to have at your fingertips, if you're a student veteran and you have questions about your education benefits, you can call 1-888-GI-BILL-1. Or if you have specific questions about a home loan guarantee, you can call our regional loan center directly at 1-877-827-3702. And you can follow us on Facebook and YouTube at Veterans Benefits Administration. Follow us on Twitter at VA Benefits, and follow us on Instagram at VA Benefits.
Excellent. Thank you again for joining us today.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.